You know what? I feel like I've been breathing a lot.
Did you say breathing a lot?
Yes.
What do you think?
What do I think? I think we're fucked. I think this grand experiment has totally fucking failed. But thank God we have Ken here.
Should we try calling some people?
Yes.
All right. We're calling
Ken. Yeah. Here's what happens. You know what to do.
You know what to do, Ken. We're calling Samantha.
Trust your gut.
Samantha's 34. She's in Tennessee.
Okay.
I'm scared. Are you?
Oh yeah, I'm always scared. Oh, it's
me
always
too.
It's always right underneath the surface.
Hello.
Hey, Samantha. It's Sim.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Good.
So, hi, Samantha.
That's Anna.
Hi, Samantha.
Hi.
And that's Ken Jeong. He's with us as well.
Hello.
So
nice
Ken,
to talk to you guys.
Ken, his TV show, Dr. Ken, is out Friday, September 23rd, the second season, and it's on ABC. Please, everyone, check it out. It's really funny. I told you I watched three episodes yesterday.
Yes, thank
it was
you.
Amazing. But we'll talk about that show later. Before we get into the show, I want to talk to Samantha about her issue here. Samantha, we're going to do our best to help you with your situation. So tell us a little bit about...
Oh, Samantha, I'm terrified.
Tell us about your 15-year-old daughter.
Well, she's currently in a relationship, and she's with a girl that she met at her school. And the girl seems like a really sweet girl, but she comes from a really strict Muslim family. And we're really worried because she's really afraid of her parents finding out. And, you know, just we don't know what to do. And we're worried about it hurting our daughter because it seems like she comes from a really strict background. And she's not even really allowed to have a boyfriend, let alone a girlfriend. So her parents have no idea that she's gay. And it's really scary.
Oh, my gosh. We are so unqualified.
Samantha,
but
Samantha,
I'm so honored that you...
No, this is crazy. Samantha, tell us what your daughter asked you earlier.
Well, she asked us not to tell if her parents were to ever ask. She asked us to not say anything and to lie to them about it. And we really don't know if we should lie about it because we don't feel comfortable, but we're not going to volunteer this information. We don't plan on saying anything, but if confronted, we don't really know what we would do.
What are your feelings about this? Like in terms of your daughter, you know, being gay and going through this, what are your feelings?
Well, we don't mind. One of the biggest things I've always told both of our kids, my husband and I both tell them, like, we never want them to have, like, a coming out. We don't need that. We just want them to come home with someone and be like, hey, I love this person. Check them out. Or, hey, I'm interested in them and we're getting to know each other. We don't mind. They can be with anyone they want from any background they want. I just want them to be happy, you know? So this isn't a concern for us. Our concern is how bad it could hurt her if her family found out about it. And I can't imagine what her parents are going to do if they were to find out about this.
Do you think that they'll pull her from school? I mean, to what extent do you think that they'll...
I think that's a real possibility. And I was telling Sim earlier, I come from a very strict background myself. I was raised in a Pentecostal Christian family. And when my brother came out when he was 16... my mom and my dad disowned him practically, and my mom had him emancipated, and he was 16 years old living on his own. And my daughter just turned 15 today. I couldn't see her taking care of herself in a year, let alone some other girl. Or it's just so scary to think about because people go kind of crazy over this stuff.
Oh, and the feeling of loneliness at that age of, exploration and who knows, I have incredibly supportive parents that loved me and love me and continue to love me. But there was definitely a time in high school when I thought I needed to run away because I thought that if they found out that I was sexually active, that they would disown me. And And I know it's not totally similar, but the idea of, I guess, feeling that idea of isolation and the idea that your child could feel, or your child's, you know, partner could feel that kind of isolation. It's
really scary. I mean, and we support her, and she will always have our support, but, I mean, I feel like she always tries to find the fucking craziest thing she could do, and she's like, hey, Mom, check it out. My girlfriend's listening to me, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And how are her parents? And she's like, not good. I'm like, okay, great. This is great.
Oh, this is so hard. Oh, this is a tough one. Ken?
I mean, I think that, first of all, I applaud you for being so tolerant of not only your daughter, but really the world around you. And there's so much you can only control in your own life, mm-hmm. and you really can't control the thoughts and actions of others. So the only thing we all can do is kind of control our own actions. And for you to already, through your actions, kind of preach tolerance and love to your own daughter, and that's kind of emanated out to your daughter's girlfriend, you know, that's sounds to me that you've done everything in your path and your power. And I think that will inform your daughter, you know, to do the same. And who knows, if, you know, you could also inform your daughter's girlfriend and her family to do the same. So I think you continuing to do what you do is very inspiring. And I think that is the as a parent myself of two daughters, you know, I think just to kind of, it's a good reminder for me just to always, you know, preach patience and tolerance and just always think big, much like you're doing right now. So if anything, you're doing so many things right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for sure, Ken. That's beautiful. And I also think that you won't be able to necessarily convince the parents of your daughter's partner of anything otherwise. And I don't know if you should necessarily try, because I think that has to be their own journey. Is that, this is where I get like,
yeah,
this is where I'm like, I'm fucking unqualified. I don't know.
Right. No, but what you're saying is right.
But they just may have to go on a little bit of this journey of their own, and you just have to continue to love like mm-hmm. you're doing, which is amazing.
Yeah. It's just hard because, you know, yesterday, she spoke with her girlfriend and, she told her, you know, we really can't hang out, and we, you know, things have been really hard because she, you know, helps with her mosque in town and stuff like that, and so her family has her really involved in her religion, and she told my daughter, you know, that for her birthday we offered to take them out to dinner, but she can't go with her because if her parents found out, I mean, it could be really detrimental. And, you know, my daughter says it's not the only reason she cries. She cries because she's 15 and everything makes her cry. But, like, she told me she, you know, was crying yesterday because she feels like she can't even be with her. And it's hard to watch her cry, and I just want to hug her and tell her it's okay. But, I mean, I worry there's going to be so much more of this coming.
Yeah, there might be. There might be. And I wish I could make it better with some kind of wisdom, but I can't. But I love it that you're clearly an incredible mom, and you're listening to your daughter, and you're listening to your daughter's issues. And I wish that I love my mom so much, but man, I wish that my mom had open communication like you may have with your daughter. And that is so important.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Good for you.
Sometimes I'll put on a call that you know, I think that you'll have the answers, or we'll have the answers, or we'll figure out a way to work it out. This is one of those calls where I didn't think that we were going to have the answers, but I knew that I think it was going to be good for Samantha to talk it out and to bring awareness to this and to show that, you know what, this is fucking awesome. What Samantha and her husband are doing, that's incredible how supportive they are, and it's just you're a really, really good mom.
Yeah, I think that's a take-home point, that you're a great mother, and you're really providing all of us with the answers, and that's still kind of an evolution right now.
But, I mean, this is just by putting it on this podcast and playing this, I feel like you're setting an example.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I do have an amazing husband, and he's been there with McKenna, I'm going to keep her name, with my daughter, and, you know, just always being really supportive and telling her that we're proud of her, and we just never want our kids to feel like they have to have a secret, like that we don't want a coming out party. We don't want anything like that. We just want them to be who they are, because no matter what, we don't care. We accept them and love them for whom they are. It doesn't even matter to us at all.
That's so wonderful, because, you know, the gift that parents can give their kids is truly, you know, absolute love. And also, like, the idea that kids will surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to, like, force them into, like, getting into Harvard or whatever, but they'll surprise you in their own ways, and there's beauty in that. And
before we wrap it up with Samantha, do you want to just give her a little piece of encouragement, advice, whatever you want?
Okay. Listen, children, to a story that did happen long ago, about a kingdom on a mountain and the valley folk below. You don't know that camp song, do you? Do you know this one?
Ken was about to chime in. I feel like Ken knows this song.
You can go ahead and hate your neighbor. You can go ahead and cheat a friend. You can do it in the name of heaven. You can justify in the end. There won't be any trumpets blowing. Come the judgment day. On the bloody morning after, one tin soldier rides away. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. No, that was the worst. I'm so sorry.
I think that was a Selena Gomez song, right? Or is it Pink? I don't know.
But thank you so much.
Samantha,
I think that we're going to be dealing with the problems that, I don't know, you're confronting. I feel like if I have any more kids besides Jack, I don't know, I may be with Jack, I'm going to be dealing with all this stuff. I'm going to be calling you late at night saying, like, what do I do? What's happening?
I'm kind of ruining my kids' lives part of the time, so at least they tell me I am.
But you know what? Men don't feel that way. So let's kick him in the balls.
Yeah, I don't feel anything right now.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Wait, just wait till I kick you in the balls.
Doesn't hurt.
Samantha, send me an email. Let me know how it all went down, and I'm sure people are going to be interested. And when they're going to want to,
they are. And you know what? The beauty is that we get. It's what's so wonderful is that we get a lot of, like, wonderful response.
That's true.
And so
we're going to get a lot from this.
Yeah.
So
please keep in touch, because there's going to be a lot of people that will.
And I'm sure they're going to be offering their own advice also. As well.
That's
maybe they've
been
through similar situations.
Yeah. Truly.
That'd be great. Yeah. Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Samantha.
You. Wishing you all the love in the world.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night.
I love her. Ken?
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Tell her that you love her. Now.
Well, I just said wishing
you. No. Say, I love you.
I love you, Samantha.
That's pretty good, but didn't have a ton of meaning.
Okay, take two. I love you. I love you so much.
Still felt false.
I love you. I love you so much, baby.
Do you want to do a growly voice competition?
Sure. I don't know if I'm ready, baby. I don't know. I'm a little scared now. Please don't put me on the spot, baby. I don't do well on that. I don't do well with jokes. Oh no.
Oh my gosh. Are you feeling like this is either the best night ever or the worst night ever?
I'm so numb right now. I have no idea. I have no idea.
But have you ever done anything
this is
like
amazing.
This?
No,
have you ever done a podcast before?
It's been a long, long time since I've done one. So
Who'd you do it with?
Did Mark Maron years ago.
And, fancy. Mark Maron.
And
get the fuck out of here. I love it that you laughed at that. Bless your heart. No,
so you're saying.
No, I really, you know, to me, it's just about being and conversing with fun people, having a laugh, and just, you know, really, with really wonderful, sincere moments and thoughts. So I think it's great, you know.
Hopefully, we'll have a few more sincere moments and thoughts.
Doctor?
Ooh, doctor.
Doctor.
I like where this is going.
Of course you do, you perv.
Anyway, with Maron.
Oh my God. Do you think we should do one more call?
Fine.
Right now. Let's do it.
Just waiting for
this. I know. By the way, I think Ken's going to be able to help with this one.
Oh, is it a gonorrhea question?
I love gonorrhea.
You love gonorrhea?
Well, it's so hard.
I mean, you got to break that down, what you just said. You love gonorrhea.
Well, it's easily cured.
Hello. Okay.
Oh, Rebecca, Anna's talking about how much she loves gonorrhea.
Hi, Rebecca. Sorry. That was my
hello.
Sweet.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, hello?
Rebecca, you there? You Rebecca, can you hear me?
Hello.
Rebecca.
Oh, fuck.
Rebecca.
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 You
no.
there?
Rebecca.
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 You're rustling of paper.
Rebecca.
Ken, say something.
It's me, Mr. Chow.
Should hang up and text that girl.
Ha, Mr. Chow. Rebecca.
She just said, I'm gonna hang up and text
you're
that
hang
girl.
Up on Chow?
Hello?
What's wrong with you hang up on Chow?
Rebecca, are you there? She just said...
How dare you hang up on Chow?
She hung up on Chow.
You ain't no hang up on Chow.
Wait. Okay, so if you're playing a stereotype, I like to play the stereotype, which is my Kayla a little bit.
Right, like, the Kayla? Oh, the not Kelly. Okay, Kayla.
Kayla.
Okay.
Which is, she's like,
is this a stereotype off?
Yeah.
Hey, Kayla. How's it hanging?
That's pretty good. So, let me ask you one thing. Were you in the movie? I don't watch a lot of movies, but were you in that Hangover movie?
Three of them.
That's pretty cool.
That's funny, Kelly. You're funny because
you're
funny.
A lot of people told me I'm really funny in general.
You're funny because the way your voice trails off into nothingness. And how dead you are inside. Makes me laugh.
Yeah, you're funny because, I feel like a lot of your nations lost a lot of wars to our America.
That's racist.
No, I'm not racist. I'm not racist. I love a lot of people.
Still racist.
No, it's not true. I love a lot of people. That doesn't even make any sense.
Oh, like you are, stupid.
Okay, first of all, I scored a 1236 on my SATs. I got into Berkeley with my dad's help. And also, I'm actually way smarter than you would ever think.
Oh, yeah? I robbed John Goodman of $20 million. Stupid. You didn't rob anybody with that SAT scores. Except your dignity, you went to Berkeley.
Actually, that's really funny.
Couldn't afford Stanford.
That's really funny.
Stupid, didn't get to Stanford. She went to Berkeley. State school.
Oh, God.
Okay, I did not go on this wine date to be mocked.
Well, you're in for 2 days of disappointment, baby. Nothing but In-N-Out Burger and tears for you, baby.
Oh, shit.
I heard your dick is really big. Because I don't know if you remember my friend Megan. She went out on a date with you.
Oh, yeah. Tell Megan say hello.
Yeah, she said your dick is huge.
Well, that's nice. She's blind. You know she's blind, right? It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes you have to humor them. She was massaging a table leg. No bigs. Chow and Kayla.
In the worst UCB ass cat ever, huh?
We should totally do Chow. Can we do Chow and Kayla?
Yeah, Chow and Kayla is the most amazing
UCB
couple ever.
Just experimental.
Chow and Kayla as a couple.
Can we do it right now?
You just did it.
I know. Can we do one more? Come on.
Yes, yes. Okay, but okay. Then okay, we're gonna call Rebecca.
Are we at Bestia?
You're at Bestia.
Okay, this is our first date.
Okay.
Hey.
Huh?
It's so cool because I used to have a parrot when I was a kid, and you sound just like that.
What?
It's awesome because I used to love that parrot so much, and apparently they live, apparently, they live for like 80 years.
You talk too much, and you're a slob. I hate you. While we're on the subject of being honest, and you're messy. Clean up your bed once in a while, okay? You have a lot to live for, baby. What are we doing?
It's going to be the most boring podcast ever. It's just going to be an hour of us laughing.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I wish you were an audible laugher, Anna. Anna right now is dying laughing, but she's a silent laugher. Oh, my God. Everyone, look at Mike. Mike is sweating. Cassie's sweating. Everyone's sweating. Let's take a break. All right, we're ready. We need to relax.
Let's take a knee, guys.
We're going to call Rebecca.
Let's take two knees on this play.
Oh, my God. Thank God this call is not nearly as sensitive. Oh, God.
All so right. I hear you like gonorrhea. Take two. You're a big fan. God.
All right. We're going to try her now. All right, here we go. Sorry. Let's gather ourselves. I hope she can hear us this time. Oh, no, this is going to be interesting. I hope she can't hear us again because we're not ready for this call. Rebecca?
Yeah, hi.
Hi,
Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. You can hear us. Sorry, we're out of breath right now because we've been laughing for the last 10 minutes. Sorry about that. But we are ready for
you. No worries.
Anna is here. Ken Jeong is here. The brilliant, amazing Ken Jeong from Dr. Ken on ABC is here.
He just told me I had gonorrhea. And so we've been laughing about that for a while. And I've been laughing because it's true.
Rebecca, I'm so sorry. We're sorry. We're here to help you. But Rebecca,
don't worry about it. I'm fangirling. So
listen, Ken is not only is he our special guest, but he may very well be qualified for your situation. So Rebecca, tell us what's going on.
All right. So I've been dating my boyfriend since about January, and we went to college together, and we were together on and off for like all 4 years. And he's actually in the midst of applying to med school right now.
Oh, cool.
I live in Chicago, and he lives in Madison, Wisconsin. So we're kind of already long distance, but I just don't really know where our relationship is headed because he is going to med school, and I'm afraid he's not going to have time. So I'm not really sure what to do.
Got it. So will you be staying in Chicago? In the next year, you know, despite wherever he's going for med school?
So most likely I will stay in Chicago. Okay. He's looking to go to school in the Midwest, but he's not sure where he's going to get in and all of that.
Sure. I think it's always scary when you're applying to med school. And I think I applied to like 10 of them from Duke, and I didn't get in them all. I did not get into all of them. So, yeah, it's always a scary prospect, but so you guys have been dating on and off for 4 years, you said?
Yeah, we did throughout college, and now we're like officially boyfriend and girlfriend since
January.
Pretty much.
Got it. Well, I mean, I think the fact that, you know, you're being supportive of your boyfriend no matter where he goes, I think that's, to me, more than distance is, you know, you guys have made the decision to commit to each other, so that's the most important thing. So wherever he goes from there, you guys have already kind of established that framework.
But wait a minute. How hard is it for a woman to be, or a person to be supportive through somebody's med?
No, it's very tough because when you're in med school, I look at it this way. Think of the science curriculum that you had, that one had in college at their pre-med, and multiply that times three. So that's like, The amount of volume of book work is really, really, really hard in terms of...
I could totally do it.
I know. And you've told me that many times in your Tumblr blog. And we have... But I do think that the fact that you are supportive of him and him of you... May I ask, what are you interested in going into? Or
I'm in public relations.
Got it. So, I mean, I think as long as there's mutual support, you guys love each other, that to me, you know, that it sounds so cliche and corny and hacky to say, but that kind of
Ken, walk us through the life of a woman dating someone who not only goes through med school but then goes through residency and all the hours. We're talking about being on call. I mean, we talked about this earlier. I have friends who are doctors as well, and I know that they're on call for like, you know,
and what
two
about
days
those sexy nurses?
Yeah.
What about those sexy nurses?
What about those sexy nurses? I mean, to me, it really is about. You can't get through anything in life, med school or otherwise, without support and love. And I think every couple and every relationship is unique. And so, to me, it's really cool that you have kind of diverse interests, like in PR and in medicine. And like my wife's a doctor and she still practices, and she's never been more supportive of my acting career
And I have actually dated other doctors and med students that when I would tell them I would do comedy or something, which is really an unusual thing in the world of medicine from that perspective, they would bump on that. They would like, I don't understand really what you're trying to accomplish. But I think the reason I'm with my wife is that she was able to understand my world of medicine, but also understand just my love of comedy and wanting to try to do acting full time, and whether I succeeded or failed in it, she supported me. So if anything, I was really scared to do this full time as a profession. So it really took my wife's love and her support and she's a doctor, that she believed in me at that time more than I believed in myself. So it really is about support. And the fact, it sounds like you guys are really making the commitment to support each other. So I think no matter where he goes, I mean, it's only a plane trip away. So I think, you know, nowadays it really is about how you establish what that relationship is, you know, and every relationship is unique. It's like a snowflake, you know, no two relationships are alike.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I do have a question about that's been kind of hard is he doesn't always have time to actually talk to me because he is too busy, like, dealing with the applications and dealing with work. So I was just wondering if you have any advice on, like, should I keep sticking it out? I mean, it's just hard because I don't even get to see him, like, maybe, like, 3 weeks, and it's kind of a long-distance situation, too.
Oh, well, that's hard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think right now, I mean, the answer ultimately is up to you guys. So it really is, yes, right now applying is incredibly tough. And as I flash back, it's applying to all these med schools where I didn't know if I would get into any of them. So, you know, I was in a relationship at that time, but it wasn't as serious. So, you know, I was really, yeah, it's tough. It's tough if you're more committed in a relationship and wanting to get to that next level. But I think there is something to be said about giving each other their space in this kind of time, and then after, you know, come what may, and after kind of everything settles down, kind of assessing where your relationship is at that
Ken,
time.
Ken, did you meet your wife in med school?
No, I met her at work.
You met her while you were a resident?
No, actually, while I was attending. We were both attendings at the
same HMO.
Oh, you're
both attending? Oh, okay, gotcha.
So we had just come out of other...
Now, did you have a relationship while you were in med school?
Yes.
Were you in a relationship?
Yes.
Was she also in med school with you? Okay,
yes.
So she understood your schedule.
Yes.
Any peers, friends that were in relationships that were not med students, like they had other jobs, how did they make it work? Was it difficult?
I've seen relationships work and not work, just like in anything else in life. So I've seen relationships that were super stable. And I remember my residency, you know, one married couple in particular, my wife could not be more supportive of my friend, and she was not in medicine at all. And I think every couple is unique. Everyone has their own unique definition of what their relationship is. And in residency, it's even tougher, where you're working 90 hours a week and you're on call and you barely have time to see anybody.
Right.
And, you know.
So Rebecca needs to understand all that because she's going to be going through that.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think right now your boyfriend's under a lot of understandable stress of, like, you know, will I get in? And, you know, this determines my life and my future. And I totally get that. But I also understand your side, too. If you haven't talked to your boyfriend in weeks, you want to make sure that the lines of communication are open. So I think there's some happy medium to be had. I mean, thinking off the top of my head. And I think, yes, you know, the need to be supportive, but also the need to recognize that support. So I see both sides of that coin very clearly.
Rebecca, what do you think? Is he the one? Are you sure that this is a guy that you want to spend the rest of your life with?
I mean, I'm only 23, so that's a big
Me too.
Question.
Young Hollywood, right?
So, I mean, yeah. So I guess, like, I don't know, but I mean, I can just... I hate to say this.
Do it.
I don't know. I can just, from her voice, and I didn't speak to her for very long. Rebecca, we didn't talk for very long today when we spoke, so I'm just going to say this. I feel like
You should break
up. I feel like she's not sure about him. That's why
she's 23.
Right.
But playing devil's advocate, it's okay for 23.
I think it's deeper than the fact that he's in med school and that he's going to be really busy. I think there's something else right now. And the fact that she's 23.
Yeah.
Are you looking at med school as an excuse to break up with him?
No, I think it's more that I'm trying to protect myself than that factor. I think it's just I'm worried about, you know, what might happen. So I'm kind of protect myself. And especially from when we were kind of on and off in college, just like the fear of what it was like to be on that off kind of cycle.
I think it's healthy to have doubts, and I think it's healthy, you know. I mean, at this point, time will tell, and I think that he, you know, the cycle of applications will be over by the spring, and, you know, you'll have a more clear idea as time goes by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anna, final advice for Rebecca.
Final advice. Do not get married until you're 30.
That's the advice.
She's 23. That's all I got.
That's what.
And hey, so Rebecca, by the time you're 30, 7 years from now, he'll be a full-fledged doctor, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he won't.
Yeah. No,
yeah, well, he will be an MD. He will be an MD.
Yeah,
yes,
but she's not going to want to depend on him. Come on.
No, I'm just saying that. It's, you know, if she supports him throughout
thanks,
all these
Anna,
years.
Thank you.
No, I didn't mean it that way. How dare you?
Yeah, he may need Rebecca
to
promote his talk show.
How
he'll be this
you?
Famous doctor.
Ken, you're the one. Ken,
you
were the one.
I'm turning on you.
You were the one that was talking about support and how you were so happy that you had a support system and how they should support each other.
Oh,
you were talking about that. So if she's going to support him for the next 7 or 8 years, by the time he becomes an MD, that's amazing. How dare you both?
Well, anyway.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Sorry to witness this, Rebecca.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah. Sim here is all of a sudden like.
Yeah.
So I'm the one that's saying you should support your partner.
Sorry.
I don't know what you guys
sorry
are saying.
He's Lenny Kravitzing this place.
You got to let love rule.
Whatever. Stupid.
What's your least favorite song?
Let Love Rule? No, that's my favorite. Least favorite song is, oh, I don't know. There's, least favorite song. There are a couple. Oh, God.
What song annoys you whenever you hear it?
I mean, there are a lot. I'm just trying to think. They're just so.
Rebecca, while Ken is thinking, what's your least favorite song?
Rebecca, help me out.
What's my least favorite song?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a tough one.
Right?
Anna, what's your? I know what yours is. Hotel California, right?
Yeah, but I also hate, and I like REM, but I hate that.
Stand
in the place where you are.
Oh, I like that song.
That from Get
That's
a Life.
A great song.
Get a Life.
Why
it's Chris Elliott.
Because I have bad posture and I want to stand.
That song is.
It
horrible.
Got me through a lot of scoliosis.
Stand
problem.
In the place where you are. Yeah, face.
I learned how to read a compass now, face west. Oh, I love that song.
No, that's a
soundtrack of my youth.
Song.
This is a great song. And
right,
you know what?
Now we're enemies.
Well, I didn't like. Oh God, where is that one? That Toadies song like 20 years ago. It's like I forgot the name of the
Toadies.
Possum Kingdom.
No, that's Crash Test Dummies.
Oh, I didn't like that song. I hated that. Mm. Yeah, Crash Test Dummies.
Yeah, Eric Andre just sang that on the show.
Oh, I hated that song.
I actually kind of like that song, but
I like that song too.
That's fine.
No.
Yeah. Rebecca, you know what? We need to.
This is the most passionate I've seen
I'm
you.
So sorry, Rebecca. Right now, it literally got me so mad.
Rebecca, do you feel like we helped you? Is there something else you need from us?
Yeah. No. This is we've not helped her at all.
Okay,
this
then let's
horrible.
Try and help her. I feel like Ken gave her great advice, but I also don't think that Rebecca is fully into this relationship.
I actually agree with that.
I mean, you can be in this relationship fully, and then. Inwardly express doubts, and that's what it sounds like. So it's one of two things: either like what Sim said, you're questioning the relationship, or you're in the relationship but you're expressing some healthy doubts. So either way, I don't know how to interpret that. So, but I think either way, time will tell.
Every time anyone says, "But I'm only 23" or "I'm only 22," that means they're not fully in the relationship. That means they want to explore.
Oh.
Every single time someone says that, that's all I need to hear. But I'm only 23,
mm-hmm.
And she said it twice. or maybe once?
Well, I'm not looking down the road to marriage. You know, we've only been dating since January.
You've only been together since January. I mean, like, you've only been boyfriend and girl. You've been off and on for four years. Yeah.
That's true. So, but you mean, it was never like a true relationship.
But it's
not
like it's a guy you just met in January and you've been together since January. This is a guy you've known for 4 years, and you guys are both adults and you're in your 20s and you're both starting your careers. And so you're not really, you know, wondering whether or not he is going to have time for you. You're wondering whether or not you want to be with him, because your lifestyles are going to be so different and you're going to be so far apart.
Am I the only one?
That's,
I know what you're
like,
saying, but I think that it's a little bit of both. A little bit of both.
Okay.
See, I'm trying to have it both ways, Rebecca. See what I'm doing? Slide of hand.
All right. I feel like I'm the bad guy here. So
you're not the bad guy.
I'm neither bad nor good. So you're trying to have it both ways.
But here's the thing. We haven't resolved this yet. I can't end this call until we figure this out or until you give her some final advice.
Final advice. I'm ready for it.
All right. Do you love this person?
Yeah.
Like, on a scale of, like, and I don't want to do 1 through 10, but let's say
1 to 11. That,
let's say that you, that he were to leave you in a week from now. On a scale of 1 through 10, how devastated would you feel?
Probably a 9.
Ooh.
Okay. All right.
But it wasn't a 10.
It wasn't a 10 just because I feel like a 10 is like I would like be, you know, unable to survive. Like a 9 is like really still really, really sad.
A 9 is like I'm only 23. I'm going to do fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hurt right now, but I'll bounce back. That's what a 9 is right now.
Yeah, but when you're in it, it feels painful.
If my girlfriend left me, I would be devastated. It's a 10, 10 plus. If Chris left you, if your wife left you, the answer should always be 10.
But you're married.
No, I'm not.
Well, you're not married, but Anna is.
Yeah, but when Sim and I were 23, we were fools. We were right. Like, we still are, but you have so much life to live. I want you to move to a big city.
She is in a big city.
Well,
she's in
Chicago is kind of the third largest city in the United States with the metropolitan square area. Having to think about.
I want you to move to Brussels.
But doesn't it show commitment that I'm still with him, even though he lives in Madison? Doesn't that prove to you that I really care for him?
The fact that you're calling us right now and you're talking to us right now proves that you're thinking about alternatives, that you're thinking, you know, whether or not you should be with him. And it is a long distance relationship. And like you said, you're only 23 and it's a 9, not a 10.
What is he thinking right now?
Yeah, good question, Ken.
Well, I mean, he really cares about me as well. And he wants to make time for me, but physically he feels like he can't. And I think it's causing him to be even more stressed, which makes me feel even more bad. So it's kind of like this cycle of I'm just waiting, you know, till he's done with his app so that he can, you know, have more time for me and we can, you know, be together physically and just.
Have you guys been arguing about this or in terms of like spending time together?
We've been talking about it. I wouldn't say arguing, okay. But it has been a topic of discussion.
Okay.
It sounds like you guys need to talk about this a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, that will inform you where to go is you guys need to communicate.
I think you both need to figure out what you both really want right now.
Or fucking throw his fucking ass to the curb.
What?
That's literally the opposite of what we suggested. I mean, I can't think of anything more 180 degrees. Like diametrically opposed to the nuanced advice I was attempting.
Rebecca, you're getting a lot of conflicting things right now. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I honestly didn't hear what she said.
Oh my God. This has been one of those nights, Rebecca. And trust me, we are really trying. Our first call was really, really hard, and I think we're still reeling from that, to be honest. So here's the thing. What we're going to do right now is we're going to go, because I think we have to go. But Rebecca, you guys need to talk, right, Ken?
Yeah, absolutely.
They need to talk. Anna, they need to talk, right?
Well, she didn't say that, you know. she said otherwise.
But anyways, Rebecca?
Yeah?
Will you please email me and let me know what happens?
I'll keep you posted.
Please. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me. I love the podcast.
Thanks, Rebecca. I love you.
Thanks, Rebecca. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Another relationship saved.
I'm trying to figure this out. This has been a really weird, weird part two.
Well, it's a hard one because this is on the grand spectrum of things. It is a bit lighter, but it's at the same time.
Was I an asshole? I feel like people are going to go on Twitter and say that Sim, you were being a real dick. No, Cassie, was I a dick?
No, I think she was looking for some direction.
Thank you, Cassie.
I think she was looking for someone like you and Anna to say.
She's pointing her finger and laughing at
me. You were a fucking dick.
All right. Watch what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Look what I'm doing.
The
finger wand. You know what this means?
God damn it.
I think because she was a little bit waffling back and forth, you're like, pick a lane. I think you're telling her to. And you too. I think both of you are like, pick a lane.
Yes. I don't think she's into it.
Well, I think she's got to talk more.
Well, she's got to talk.
With him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think.
All right. Well, anyways.
Chow and Kayla. Yeah.
Let's do this. What does this mean?
Hey, Ken, when my producing partner does that, what do you think it means?
Wrap it up.
Ah, smart man, Duke undergrad, boom.
Or just kind of like, I have a knowledge of common hand signals. Either way, I could be a JUCO graduate. or have a GED. Still would know this. Really, I could literally be a middle school dropout. I could...
Blue Devils.
Several child actors could kind of figure out what this means.
Bobby Hurley.
I cannot wait. I'm gonna be like.
Unqualified is on Instagram.
Say that a little bit slower.
Follow it.
so people understand what the but you're hearing. But,
no, they
you know,
they need to follow Instagram. Follow Unqualified on Instagram.
Slower.
Everyone needs to follow Unqualified on Instagram.
Instagram.
On Facebook, on Twitter. They need to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and Play It. They can submit a question on unqualified.com. We're not on Snapchat yet. They can't.
They're not a cult at all.
Ken Jeong has a TV show. It's called
Dr. Ken.
It's on Fridays on ABC. ABC.
Very simple letters, guys. I really don't think it could be
at
8:30
p.m. on Fridays. They could also buy it on iTunes if they wanted.
Yes, they can. They can buy it on iTunes.
But they can't go anywhere else. Like, no Netflix, no Hulu, none of that.
Right. Just iTunes, I believe.
What a fucking dick.
Well, that's a common question. It's like, hey, can I watch your show on Hulu or Netflix?
I think ABC.com. I think ABC.com.
Or the ABC app.
ABC app, correct. Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Where else? Hangover 1, 2, and 3. Community is available probably on Hulu.
On Hulu, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, actually it is.
You can watch old episodes of Hulu.
Yeah.
On Community on Hulu, I should say.
Have you had anyone from Community on here yet?
No,
like Joel McHale?
No, we haven't. But she did a movie with Joel McHale.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
What's your number?
What's your number? Yes. Yeah.
Chris Pratt.
Why'd you give
Chris
him a
Pratt
hint?
Was also in it.
Fuck you. Let's make Ken do it again.
Okay. All right. All right. She. You know what? She knows Joel McHale.
Oh, yeah.
They did
right.
a movie together.
They did a movie together. Yeah.
Do you remember what it was called?
What was the called? Movie called?
Oh, I know. Battleship.
Battleship.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn
clothes?
Decker.
Battle box.
Is there any way you could? It's mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. It has a question mark mm-hmm. at the end of the title.
Battleship?
Mm-hmm. No, okay. It's not. It's right. more of like a romantic, but less spaceshipy.
Anyhow. What's your number?
But. Do it up again?
What's your number?
So good, yes.
Is that what Leno said when you were so yeah, so anyway, so Anna, we have your next movie coming out. What's your number? Coming out in August. Great to have you on Ferris, everybody. How no movie going on? What's your number? Is that how he said it?
Oh my god.
That is so depressing.
Oh
but
my god,
yes,
man.
You're totally right.
Before we go, we can cut this out. We can cut this out. 1 minute interview. You as Jay Leno, you're interviewing Anna about her new movie. It's called, what movie do you want to be interviewed about? You want to be, what's your number? We just said, what's your number? Oh, interviewed about the podcast. Boom.
Okay. And by the way, yeah. Leno, I love Leno.
Leno's amazing.
Yeah. So, Anna. Anna.
Oh, wait. You need to introduce her.
Our next guest is, you've seen her in several movies, in several punctuated titles of What's Your Number? What's Your Number? And What's Your Number? Please welcome Anna Ferris! Anna!
Hey!
Oh, so, looking really good. Looking a little sleep, a little tired here. So tell me about your movie.
Oh,
that's great.
Well,
anyway, we'll be right back with Anna Ferris after this message from Tampax.
Yay.
And 1, 2, 3. And we're back. Anna Ferris. So we laughed and cried about your movie. What's the name of the movie?
So the movie is called Jump, Jump, Jump. And
it's called Jump, Jump, Jump.
Jump, Jump, and I'm
great title.
I'm so proud because.
And what do you play in Jump, Jump, Jump?
Well, I play sort of a woman from the streets.
Oh,
but,
Jump, Jump.
Yeah.
Yes, I read the book. I read the book. I read. Okay. Okay. Kevin, I read. Okay. You know, I read sometimes. Yeah, I know yeah. You read. Yeah, you know, I read. I'm sorry. It's a Jump, Jump, and Jump, 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 Jump.
As a teacher, I wanted to.
It's funny, a teacher. Good. Jump, jump, some teacher. I'm sorry, I thought, go on. Kevin, let us speak. Jeez. Sorry, just. Sorry, she looked. Is there something I said? You look a little, You look a little mad. Is this something I did? Just have you on you're promoting your movie, giving you all the time in the world. You okay?
Yeah, I feel really good right now.
Okay. Anyway.
So, anyways, when I was cast in Jump, 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 I felt like, this is a role that's going to stretch me. You know,
because of all the jumping, it's like jumping and I'm stretching, and so I made it. So is that what made it get that kind of role? Like, I'm stretching out. So hey, I'll jump off a pole, and you know, I'll tether myself to some cement block, and then I'll just jump and then I'll stretch.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. Sounds.
So did you see the movie?
Because
I think that my publicist sent you the screener or.
I have not, because I'll tell you why. It's Kevin here. He'll tell you why. Kevin? 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 Kevin?
Kevin? Kevin? Kevin? Kevin? Kevin? Kevin? I wasn't interested. That's why I didn't see it. That's the complete lack of interest. Sorry. Anyway, all about the movie. Chum, 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 chum. A lot of stretching, a lot of jumping going on. Anyway, we'll be right after this from Wonder Bread.
I think that was so good.
I think I fucking nailed it.
That was amazing. I really did.
I just that was my best work.
That was incredible. Can we have to have Ken doing Jay Leno every time?
Yeah, he comes on.
He's gonna come on every week, by the way.
Good. I talked about it. Drinking Icelandic water.
Let's wrap it up for real right now.
Yeah, it is Friday morning. I have to go back to the basement. I got a pee pee so bad in your bucket.
Everyone, Ken has to go BB in the basement.
In the attic.
Whatever she says. Fuck you, dude.
If she wants
to change the attic to the basement.
I got to tell you guys, I do have to fucking work tomorrow morning. I love you. I love each and every one of you.
Love you guys. Thanks for having me.
Ken, thank you so much for being a part of this. This is awesome. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Cassie.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Cassie.
But Ken, will you tell us that maybe we were kind of the worst?
We are the best. This was so much fun. And you also, I mean, and honestly, taking these phone calls and this moment, this was awesome.
You were awesome.
Yeah,
that was so much fun.
Nice. It was nice.
Did you like how I put a med school question there?
Fuck
no,
you.
I liked it.
Who needs accolades? Turns out Sim does. Did you like how, aren't we wonderful? We're doing a project for...
Good night, everybody!